Ken DeCosta. We're going to spend the next 20 or 25 minutes with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Should you have any questions or comments regarding health care reform or any other federal issues, Congressman Manzullo is the man to answer your questions at 815-874-8255. Congressman, are you there?
I'm doing fine, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for your time, as always. Will the House pass the Senate health care reform bill and a package of modifications called the reconciliation bill this week?
I'm not sure. There are several problems. The biggest problem is that there are a lot of Democrats that don't like being part of essentially what is a dishonest scheme by the Speaker to cook the rules and to hide from the American people a vote on the Senate bill. If I could explain that.
Please do.
On Christmas Eve, the Senate passed this horrific 2,700-page bill, cost in excess of $1 trillion. This is the one where senators were paid off. Notice I use those terms, Ken, because I'm really upset. Senators were paid off in exchange for their votes to get extra money for their states. And that includes the Florida, where the senator down there actually came up with a plan to exempt the dismantling of Medicare Medicare Advantage for 800,000 of his people. The senator, somebody in Connecticut, got paid off to vote for this bill in exchange for a $100 million hospital. A senator in Nebraska got paid off in order to exempt his state from the mammoth increase in Medicaid money that the state has to raise. Senator Louisiana, that's a true purchase, got paid off about $300 million so she could get extra money. I mean, this is why people are absolutely disgusted and sickened over what happens in Congress. I would give Congress a 0% rating. And so this is the bill that passed, the one that would increase taxes by $500 billion, the one that, according to the Congressional Budget Office, would knock 2 or 3 million people out of work because of the harsh employer mandate, the one that would further cut Medicare reimbursement by $500 million, the one that would tax medical devices, such as perhaps the prosthetic titanium device that my wife has in her back when she came down with cancer. And they had to take out an exploded vertebrae and put in this titanium miracle. And the radiation machine that treated her. And the x-ray machine. Absolute taxes on life-saving equipment. And here's the bill that would not bend the cost curve for health insurance costs, but would actually raise the cost of medical services, would raise the cost of medical insurance, there'd be a tax on union health plans, except at the end, even though it didn't make it into the bill, the unions were promised an exemption. This bill is so foul. It's so outrageous that the members of the House don't want to vote on the same bill. So the Speaker came up with an idea, and she said, well, let's find a way to pass this bill without members of Congress having to vote on it. I looked at it and said, whoa, that's interesting. And here's how they plan to do it. In order to, quote, fix, end of quote, this rotten bill that was passed by the Senate on Christmas Eve, you have to come up with a bill that's called a reconciliation bill.
Right.
Which is really, that's a spiritual term for people reconciling their differences and coming together. But unfortunately, it's used in this context, and there would be a standalone reconciliation bill. Now, procedurally, every time a bill comes to the floor of the House, it needs an escort. That escort is called a rule, and the rule determines the length of the debate, the number of amendments, etc., that will go into the bill. And what Speaker Pelosi plans to do is as follows. She wants, instead of having two standalone rules and two standalone votes, she wants to have one rule that says if if the members vote for that rule to bring the reconciliation bill to the floor, a mere vote on that rule would deem the Senate bill passed. And then the Senate bill would go immediately to the president. He would sign it. And then there would be a separate vote, or only one vote, on the so-called reconciliation. There'd be no Senate filibuster on the reconciliation because it would pass by a simple vote, 51 votes as opposed to at least 60.
So it sounds like, in your view, the Speaker of the House is trying to limit accountability.
Yeah, let me give your own words. Quote, she said, this procedure is, quote, more insider and process-oriented than most people want to know. But I like it, because people don't have to vote on the Senate bill. That's outrageous. Now, that's absolutely outrageous.
In your view, what is realistic, affordable health care reform that would include more Americans who currently don't have health insurance?
Well, here's the goal. It's not exactly getting more Americans insured. It's getting more Americans access to health services. There's a distinction on there. Massachusetts has had the unfortunate experience of adding more people to the insured rolls, and it really hasn't brought down the cost of health care. Well, actually, their premiums have gone up about 5% a year, which is pretty modest compared to some of them. But they ought to take this, they ought to take the whole issue of health care, which is what we've been arguing on the Republican side for some time, and chop it into 10 or 15 different pieces. First of all, you start with doubling the size of across the nation of community health centers. I mean, we have a flagship in our area called Crusader Clinic. It serves between 40 and 45,000 people who simply do not have health insurance. But even of that 40 to 45,000, 7 to 10% of the money that comes in is from people that have health insurance. And so what you do is you find out what's going to be the cost to double it, and then find the money somewhere by cutting other spending. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is say, well, you know what? It'd be a lot cheaper and more competitive if we allowed health insurance to be sold across state lines, because Florida only has one or two carriers down there. So you create that intensive interstate competition in order to do that. Third thing, go out there and set up association health plans. Allow little guys in businesses and people that are self-employed to come together and join these large purchasing pools to have the massive purchasing power that labor unions and governments and corporations do. A fourth thing you do is go in and allow the self-employed, the people who do not work even for a one-person corporation, to have the tax breaks in buying health insurance the same way that that corporations do in pre-tax dollars. And I mean, there are many things that can be done, common sense things that would really attack the problem of people not having access to health insurance, or rather to health services. But no. As I was discussing with a Democratic member on the floor, they're really fed up because they want to use the word comprehensive, because they want to go in there and put such a massive imprint on 1/6 of the economy all at one time, because it's just another step towards totally eliminating health insurance policies and the government picking everybody up. The other thing, Ken, that people have to realize is if Obama's bill passes, that's going to cost the people of Illinois over the next 5 years an additional $1.8 billion in Medicaid costs. That's, you're looking at about $350 million a year added to Illinois' already broke economy. I mean, this doesn't make sense.
President Obama said yesterday, failing to pass his health care overhaul would condemn millions more Americans to facing illness without health coverage.
Well, that's
true or false?
It's false. The problem is, if that health care bill passes, it's going to increase the premiums of everybody. It will wipe out individual insurance plans that you know persons have one by one. It'll force them onto the exchange, where even the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that the cost of insurance premiums will go up by 10 to 15%, and it will result in a loss of between 2 and 4 million people. Because the employers will not be able to pay the mandatory insurance for the employees.
After all of this, though, I think this has been going on now for a year. Are you advocating that the House vote against the Senate bill and the reconciliation bill and start over?
Well, absolutely. We ought to take out the SHOP Act and just vote on that alone. And then go into increasing the association health plans, the allowing the self-employed to have the same ability to buy health insurance with pre-tax dollars, allowing for the sale of insurance across state lines. In fact, we had an alternative when the House voted to pass its version of the bill. I think it was H.R. 3200. And the Republican alternative actually would save $68 billion in money and actually reduce health insurance premium. This is all according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
The president is meeting or has been meeting in the last few days, Congressman, with some freshman Democrats, obviously lobbying them. What do you know about the lobbying coming from the Oval Office?
Well, they're twisting arms and breaking arms. I mean, this is, if a freshman Democrat or I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, if you don't want to be a party to that, then don't go into the room and just say, this is my position. I'm firm. Just leave me alone. But I can tell you this, Ken, when Denny Hastert was the Speaker of the House, we had some tough votes on here, very close votes. And the margins were very close. And I would remind you that the Democrats have a 40-vote majority. I mean, they really don't need the Republicans. They could vote anything they want. It's just that the bill is so offensive that they're divided among themselves. And but we never, all the time that Denny Hastert was the Speaker of the House, the most he would say is, we need your vote on this, but it's a matter of conscience. You vote the way that you believe you have to vote. And that was it. I mean, we're hearing all kinds of stories about promises of jobs. One story came out, I don't know if there's any truth to it, where the member from Utah who voted no last time, suddenly his brother got nominated to be a judge. And you take a look at these things and say, sometimes things are just too coincidental. But I take him, what bothers me is the process of this. I mean, hiding things from the American people. Let me tell you what else they're going to do. And I found this out from a member of the Budget Committee. You know when we showed up with a giant bill that's, mm-hmm. 1,067 pages?
Mm-hmm.
What the Democrats have decided to do now is they're going to put four pages on one page. They're going to shrink the page in half and then double-side it so that 1,067 pages would be just would appear to be one-fourth of that. I mean, come on!
Annie, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Hello, Annie.
Good morning.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
Mr. Battleship Man.
You bet we still save about $100 million a year on those battleships.
Boy, oh boy, you ought to tell that story.
Well, the story is that when I was a freshman, we found out the Navy was going to give away several battleships, and I suggested to the Admiral, I said, "Well, have you ever thought about selling them?" He said, "Gee, that's a great idea." So they came back about 2 months later, and Congressman Sam Brownback and I, Sam is now running for governor of Kansas. It was called for years the Manzullo-Brownback Amendment. It was all ships, not just exactly battleships, and that saves anywhere between $100 and $300 million a year.
Honest to God.
Amazing.
Many, many people do not know about that, so I try to bring it up almost every time you come on the air.
And many people don't know that you're a veteran. Many people don't know you're a veteran of World War II.
Outrageous.
Right. Go ahead, Annie.
Thank you.
All right, Annie. Thanks.
Thank you.
Don, will the reconciliation bill, any modifications, include additional restrictions on a woman's ability to buy insurance policies that cover abortion services?
I don't think so, but no one knows what's in the reconciliation bill yet. It's not printed. We don't know what's in it.
When do you expect a vote?
We don't know. They think sometime they'll expect a vote when they snapped enough arms to bring it to the floor with a 72-hour notice. It looks as though it may be Saturday, if at all. But this is, I mean, I've been here since January of 1993. I cannot think of a procedure that's more offensive to basic fairness of the American people. To sit there and to shrink the size of the bill down to put four pages on one, to hide the size from the American people, to pull a horrible maneuver by indirectly passing the Senate bill, so people who vote for that, for the rule to bring it to the floor, can say, well, I didn't really vote on it. It was just part of the reconciliation process. I mean, all this stuff, hiding from the American people, this is outrageous. And this comes from the speaker, who said that the Congress that she directs will be the most open and fair Congress in history.